Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Thursday, December 17th, 2013. My name is Sally Bathurst. Thank you for tuning in to our weekly edition of American Freedom Watch Radio with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. And I'm going to hand it over to them in just a couple of minutes. But first, I have something I've just got to share with you. You know, last night I had my regular show, and I talked about the difference of a dictator and a president. And I got to thinking, you know, one message I definitely want to make sure I get out there for this Christmas season, as we all think about what America means, why we, as our Christian faith, you know, celebrate Jesus Christ, Christmas, and these types of things, to think about what we are as a society, what our values are, and what's going to happen to us, where we are. And so it's the Tough Love America. You know, it's time for Tough Love America, and the truth will set us free. I don't think that could be any more true than it is right now. The truth will set us free. So I'm going to mention a couple of the truths I think we need to face. We need to face it now, and the truth will set us free because we need to deal with it. So the truth is the USA does not have a president. We have a dictator. Just look at the definition of a dictator, and you will see we have a dictator. You can call it whatever you want to, but what it is a dictator. And the fact of the matter is communism has arrived to America. We have to be honest and face it. Communism has arrived. What they're doing with Obamacare and so many other things is the takeover, which is what a dictator does, take over in the communism, hand in hand. Then, the illegal invasion of the Muslim Brotherhood. That is real. We are being invaded by the Muslim Brotherhood at the leadership, if you want to call it leadership, of the dictator, and again, this promotion of communism. And then the Muslim Brotherhood is literally taking over this homeland. This is all happening while, unfortunately, and I don't mean to hurt people's feelings, but it seems like Americans are more concerned about a Super Bowl game than they are about the invasion of their country and about the fact that they have a dictator versus a president or that we are turning into a communist society. The American people seem to be too concerned about a Super Bowl game. I think we have lost our way on that one. Excuse me, and we need to face the truth. So face the truth, and we can survive this. But if we refuse to accept the truth, what is happening to this country, we will not survive. The American experiment will have been a failure. We knew it was an experiment. We can keep it going, but if we're not careful, we will lose it. And so I just had to say the truth, thinking of the Christmas season, the truth will set us free. We have to get back to the truth. And on that note, we have Karen and John. Thank you and welcome, folks.
Well, welcome, Sally, and you are absolutely right. Folks, you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on Red State Talk Radio. Please visit our websites, agenda21today.com, americaismyname.com, panhandlepatriots.com, and saveamericafoundation.com. Sally, you said exactly, I think, the spot where we are all coming and arriving now, because this is so egregious of what this government is doing, and we only have a dictator because our Congress does nothing. So that is the real problem. A dictator can only dictate if power is given to him, and our Congress is giving him the power to do that. And that's the reality, folks. I can't find, I don't know about you, John, I can't find but a handful of people that I would even consider reelecting, no matter how good they are, no matter what we thought. This last budget bill that destroys the ability of our military to feel secure in their government is disgusting. What is being done to our military is a travesty. And I don't know about you folks, but if I had children right now, the last thing I would do is tell them to join the military, because the way we are treating our warriors is a total disgrace in a civilized country.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John, but I am just livid about this last disgusting, disgraceful budget that it makes my mind explode. Those of us that know about communism and Agenda 21, what do they say about the military? Funds could be reallocated from the military to pay for other things, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, on a massive scale. I mean, I guess the very upsetting fact of the matter is that Mr. Boehner has gone on the attack against conservative members of the party, and even of those of us that are not conservative members of his party, we are still constitutional conservatives, and we lean heavily toward voting when we do vote for Republican candidates. But he has now taken us on and is going to battle the very people that have made an honest, truthful attempt to enlighten Americans, to maybe restore the republic. Mr. Boehner has no interest in restoration of the republic. Our president has no interest in restoration of the republic. They have revealed their cards. They've showed us their hand, and it's the hand we're going to deal to our military men, but it's also the hand that we're going to deal to every American citizen. And it is. I mean, these are ruthless tyrants who have no objective but to line their pockets on the destruction that they carry forth. And that's what they're bringing to America. That's what they're bringing to the middle class. And people really need to enjoy this Christmas, enjoy this holiday season, because it very well may be the last under this form of a republic that we were given. And after this, next year is frightful to think where they will progress in the following year. Because, you know, the number one thing, you know, they're liars. And
yep.
we've known that for some time, and that's what this show is all about, sharing truth. And we've shared truth on many battlefronts, because there are a lot of battlefronts that they have given us. They have decided, you know, that they would leave the borders open to the invaders. And they have decided that they would continue to spend money that we do not have. They have decided, you know, that we would have and destroy one-sixth of the American economy through the Obamacare tax. And it's all done with lies, you know. I shared with some folks today on a radio show this morning. Yesterday and over the past few days, if anyone does and goes to any of the social media sites, You can scroll around and you can see Protect Medicare, Stop the Tea Party. And then you can click on the little icon and it says Stop the Tea Party's Radical Agenda Before It Destroys Medicare. And then you click on the little icon and you open it up, and guess where you go? You get to go to a webpage that's fully functioning, up and operational, and it's a petition that you can sign. And it belongs to BarackObama.com. Now, how interesting is that? That the president's organized for action, his PAC, his $1 million, you know, that he's taken in PAC money. They can build a functioning website to destroy the Tea Party, but they can't build a website for the health care that they mandated and they shoved down our throats. It's pretty interesting to me that they can get it right when it's for a petition, but they can't get it right when it's for one-sixth of the economy.
They had no desire to get it right to begin with. Never. I believe that this is their purpose. They breed chaos. They love chaos. They love the strife. When the people are, think about what's going to happen January 1st or January 2nd when people go online and they try to go get health care. And there will be massive chaos. Guess what will happen after that? The government will have to step in. They'll have to do something. They'll be wonderful. They will save the day riding in on the white horse. And that's what this whole thing was set up to do. This is a disgusting display, this budget. It's very interesting. The House passed 40 bills to defund Obamacare, and then in 1 minute they all vote to fund Obamacare. So tell me where they are. They are, as we say, OTL, out to lunch, because they certainly weren't on the House floor doing the right things for the American people. The other thing that worries me equally as bad is that bill mandates, not you have a choice, mandates schooling pre-K. Remember, folks, cradle to grave schooling, cradle to grave indoctrination. Well, here's your bill that supports it. This budget supports pre-K school. That is a travesty as well. So if we add up all of these travesties, like you said, Sally, this is communism. This is not make-believe. We're going to think about it. We have to make a decision. This is full-fledged, full-blown, the beginning of communist takeover of America.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part of it is that there are so many people that are asleep, that they cannot even recognize that this is happening to them, and that to me is so sad, because this is what they get in school. This is what happens in school. This is what they get. This is where it comes from, and it is eating up our families. It is eating up our local communities, and it is eating up everything that was good about this country. And very soon people will say, what is freedom? What is liberty? You know, John, I was by two towns in Florida, and they have a free speech zone. So you can't speak freely in any part of St. Augustine. You have to go and stand in a town square to be able to have a free speech zone, an amendment, a First Amendment zone. That is disgraceful. And as Americans accept and accept and accept and accept. And so on that note, we have come up with our solution. And since we are not, we are facing the new year, and we have lots of New Year's resolutions floating around, I want to share my four with everyone. And my four start out with, I will not be politically correct. I will talk about politics and religion. I will not be part of the silent majority, and I will demand that we stop funding fraud.
That's the stance we have to take.
Yep. That whole entire budget said, here is, $4 trillion to fund every fraudulent program you can find and more. It is just astounding that we accept this as human beings. I wouldn't accept that from my children. I wouldn't accept that from my friends. I certainly am not going to accept it from my government.
But how many people are standing with you, Karen?
Well, the nice thing is the people are signing our petition. More and more every day are signing it. It's going out there. We're putting it on Facebook. We're putting it on Twitter. We're putting it on LinkedIn, any place that we can find. And people are beginning to understand that the only way we're going to stop this is to cut off the money, because there isn't any other way to stop it. As we know, the minute we have a program that we draw attention to, they change the name. So rather than working through programs that we know are fraud and lies, the money is the answer. We have to cut off the money. There's no other answer. It doesn't matter what petition, it doesn't matter what we say, it doesn't matter what we do, because they will find another way to do it, and it is both the Republicans and the Democrats. They should be disgraced. They are disgraceful. And like Nancy Pelosi said, what did she say? Embrace the suck. I don't want to embrace the suck. What kind of a stupid thing is that to our congressman to say, embrace the suck? That means we are coming to you with a lousy program and we all have to suck it up? I don't think so. No. I don't think so. Embrace the suck. I understand where that comes from. That is a military term. And yes, our military goes out and they face horrific conditions, but we don't have to face those conditions in Washington. Why should we elect people who think that mediocrity is okay? Why should we elect people that turn around and say to us, well, this is really bad, but it's the best we can do? If it was the best that you could do, and it was bad, why did you do it?
I know, but we've got 50%, if not more, of the population, Karen, that's willing to accept mediocrity, especially in the government, because they don't want to deal with the government. They have given up all hope of doing anything to change the government. They think they have no voices. That's the reality. How do we stop funding of the government, any program? How do you stop the funding of it?
Well, you've got to turn around and you've got to have a group of elected officials that will actually do their job. And all they have to do is, let's take an agency like my favorite, the EPA. All they have to do is say, show me where this rule, law, whatever regulation that you're putting in place has backup scientific evidence that proves that it's true.
Okay, Karen, let me ask you this.
They can't. All right,
so then the answer is the only way the American people can stop funding, because your tax dollars are seized from you, and there's nothing you can do to stop your tax dollars from going to Washington. So your tax dollars are taken from you out of your paychecks, and they get to Washington. And then you have to hope and pray that the Congress that you elected, and we elected a Congress in 2010 that was supposed to have our backs and was supposed to be our answer to the purse strings, and the bastards this week and last week sold us out. They sold out the American people. John Boehner has no spine. You can't give spine to spineless cowards. These are spineless tyrants who hope to rule us. They have no interest in what we think, what we hope, what we believe. They are tyrants. And the sooner the American people face the facts that you're going to have to elect people that have spine, backbone, elect your neighbor, elect a guy that's got some kind of nerve, because certainly these people that are in the pockets of lobbyists, and that's who controls America, the lobbyists, the interests, the unions. They're destroying us, and by their design, they're going to globalize the entire planet. The entire economy has been turned over to a global economy, and guess what? That leaves out the American worker. That's where we're at. The American workers are getting the short end of the stick, and we're being told to like it by Mr. Boehner.
That's right. Well, here's the problem. In 2010, we elected a good group of people. In 2012, we went back to sleep and left many of those people still there. We weren't paying attention. And if you remember what Bill Federer said last week, the Athenian democracy, the democracy that the Athenian people practiced, that we modeled our government after, was 1 hour a week. They had to go to the town square and talk about politics. Well, that's got to come back in the mix, and we have to then begin to exercise our right as Americans to control our elected officials. We didn't do that.
Yeah.
So, yes, we elected people in 2010 that would have done a good job if we held them accountable. We didn't do that. We dropped the ball. And the only way that we're going to be able to do anything and turn it around is when we get involved. And a perfect example of that, I am so proud to tell everybody today that Martin 912 from Martin County in Florida just threw the 750 regional plan of Agenda 21 in the garbage pail. They said no. So this 750 plan that would have taken the lower seven counties in Florida and turned them into a UN program that would have destroyed all of their private property, the people woke up and they said no. So when the people get involved, amazing things happen. The problem is we are still not getting involved. We're not going enough. We are going, you and I, John and Sally, but where are the rest of the people? And until it hits everybody deep in their pocketbook, which I believe will be 2014, the American people said, we voted these good guys in office. Just let's give them a chance. Maybe they'll do their job. There is no maybe. There isn't any.
It's time to revolt against these folks. I mean, we can talk about it, and when I say revolt, I mean start kicking us. John Boehner's got to go. You know, he has shown himself to be a spineless wimp, to give in to Barack Obama and Harry Reid at every turn of the bat. What more do we need to know about spineless Johnny Boehner? That's it.
Right.
So you got his number, and how many of the rest of them that stood with spineless? Paul Ryan has got to go. What did they give us for a budget? Did they cut anything? Tell me where they cut and they're going to save the American people. Our debt continues to grow under this failure of what they call a plan. It's a lie. It's a farce. It was lobbyists who put enough pressure on them so that they would go ahead and stop the sequester. That's what the lobbyists want. The defense lobbyists don't want the sequester in place.
And John, we have to keep on reminding people who these people really are. Look at the little crafty Mitch McConnell. He thinks we're going to forget. I don't think so, because we're going to put this out in every post. We're going to remember. We're going to remember his arm around good old Harry's neck when Harry gave him $2.5 billion for his boat.
Yep.
Remember that? That was only a month ago, but people have a short memory. Well, all they're going to do, he thinks all they're going to do is remember, I voted against the budget, so I'm really a conservative. I'm really a good guy. I don't think so. We have to look at their voting records. We have to look at everything they're doing and then expose it as they go. And try to get reelected. And I told everybody, you can do a really, really, really simple test of where a politician stands with two simple questions. Do you believe in the Second Amendment? They will all tell us yes. Do you think Common Core is great? They'll all tell us yes, because you can't believe in the Second Amendment and support Common Core simultaneously. So if the answer to that question is yes, that person needs to get out of office, because Common Core is communism, and communism does not support the Second Amendment or any other amendment or any constitution or any part of America. So getting rid of and exposing these people is really, really easy. We have to do it. And you know how we have to do it, John? We've got to come together with as many groups as we can, forget our past, and look at our future. Because if we can't practice and study and understand the Constitution as Americans, it doesn't matter what little battle we're going to go and fight, because it won't make any difference.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to see Senator Colburn? He did his government waste book this year. That was a lot of fun.
How many billions?
That was $30 billion in questionable and low priority spending. $30 billion.
And that's on the spending side, and that does not address, because there's no way to really get a good grip on the amount of fraud. So that's on the wasteful spending, $30 billion.
Yeah,
how far would that go to? Yeah, $30 billion. Shame on them.
And then people say, oh, it's only $30 million, it's only $20 million, it's only a drop in the bucket. Well, if you add up all those drops, you get a whole bucket.
Yeah.
Like
I said, they don't go into the fraud of it, Karen, because that's the one thing that everyone and these politicians know that there's fraud in every government program that they operate. They're the biggest fraudsters going. You know, when you've got crooks and deep rooted corruption running the hen house, you know, they're feeding chickens out the back door to the fox. You know, and then they're telling you, I didn't really see the fox. I kept my eye on the front of the hen house, and I never noticed anything, and I didn't see that the fox took those hens from the back of the house. Then they'll move to the rear of the house. I've got my eye now on the rear of the house, and they're taking hens out the front of the house. These are the people. It's an analogy, but it's a good one for what we're confronted with this failure of a Congress and this abomination that we have as a president. Calls himself a president. He is a tyrant ruler and a liar. And then that's the one thing, you know, when we talk about the effort to reveal fraud and not to fund fraud, let's make certain that each and every time we unveil a lie that any of these people tell us, you know, let's call it what it is. Let's call them what they are. The president, the commander-in-chief, is a liar. He has been proven to be a liar. And now we've got all over the, you know, liberal media and their little websites, you know, he's going to be this year's, the biggest lie this year. Like, is that some kind of badge of courage, of honor? What is that about? You know, we have a president that tells the largest lie. Well, what's he doing in office? And
that's
is it okay just to lie?
That's
Billy Boy Clinton. You give Billy Boy Clinton a medal, that whoremongering ass.
Right. And you know what else was even mind-blowing, too? They have senators and congressmen who are going to sue Obama for not doing his job. What the heck is wrong with these people? We have a tool. It's called impeachment. It's called jail. It's called treason. What happens when you are committing treason? Go to jail, directly to jail. But they're going to sue Obama.
Karen, I'll bet you that if you could, because you can do this exercise for yourself, and it's interesting, because, you know, I support educating folks, and we have to stay on top of that. But if you ask the average Joe, can you tell me what treason is? I'll bet you that you can't find, if you're lucky to find 10% of the American people, that can give you a reasonable definition and understanding of treason. So how can you know to prosecute a guy who has destroyed the Constitution and is carrying out unconstitutional acts? He has carried out acts of treason against the American people. So if you don't know what treason is and you don't know that definition, then how can you have your congressman, how can you even ask them to pursue an impeachment? Because I think Barack Obama has committed enough impeachable offenses, because it's treason and then high crimes and misdemeanors. So what is a high crime and a misdemeanor? So all of those are things that the people have to become aware of, and the people have said, well, we don't care. There's nothing we can do. And I'm telling you, just ask the average guy. He wants to get his Christmas shopping done. He's got a list, and he's checking it twice, and he's doing everything that he can. You know, he's put in his hard labor to be able to buy Christmas presents and to carry on the scam that is. And we're all good consumers. I mean, that's what we have become, a consumer society that they dictate to. And so the guys that are out there and they've worked hard and they're out now pursuing the Christmas holiday and the purchasing of gifts and doing all that they've done, if you stop them on their way exiting the mall and putting money into circulation and doing the American thing, and you said, sir, can you tell me, do you believe your president is an honest man? Number one, most of them are going to tell you no, right up front, because even the liberal media can't hide his lies. So they know that he's a liar. So, okay, well, sir, if you know him to be a liar, is there any doubt in your mind that he has carried out other acts that may allow him to be called treasonous? And how about, has he committed any high crimes or misdemeanors against the American public? And most of them aren't going to be able to answer that. But if you do find a rare occasion, the ones that do, okay, what do we need to do to get to have this guy, those actions taken in our Congress? It has to take place in Congress. Where are our congressmen there? Hold him accountable. They know what took place in Benghazi. They don't have any doubt what took place with Fast and Furious. We know what took place. We know that there was gun running and that it was sponsored by our federal government. And who's in charge of the federal government? Who's the guy where the buck stops here? It's Barack Obama. It's the White House, the executive branch. So you know all these things are taking place. You know, they haven't even run anybody off for this debacle of a health care deal. Kathleen Sebelius has got enough nerve to go set up in front of these fools that call herself looking out for our interests. And that's all that is. That's a scam. That's a show. It's a smoke screen to keep us all occupied while they bankrupt the entire nation. And that's where they're headed. And that's when you'll see the American people finally start to pay attention. And when they're in line to go to get their food and their groceries off the back of a government truck, then they'll come to you and they'll say, Karen, you know, I know that you knew something about it. Didn't you know, Karen? You tried to tell us, Karen. John, you tried to tell us. And then, you know what they'll be doing? They'll be rounding up John and Karen, because we're the very people that they should be listening to, and we're the very people that your Congress, your president, are saying are lying to you. They're saying that we're the evil ones, that we are the extremists. We're not extreme. We're Americans, united in the truth. We're not going to accept the lies. But guess what? We will be the first ones cast down whenever they come for the rest of you. All I can tell you is get in line.
Unfortunately, John, history is going to prove that you're right, and that's real. That's very, very sad. Yesterday, I did a seminar because I am running for office, but I also believe that in order to make an impression, you have to lead by example. So I'm introducing into our area a program that I put together with the National Association of Small Farmers. And I found it very interesting listening to the people, because what I am finding is that there are many, many, there are so many people that get it. They just don't know what to do with what they got. So they're upset. They're disgusted. They are angry. A lot of them were angry. I can't tell you how many times I heard from them, this is my retirement. I didn't expect it to be like this. Several people said, I don't know what I'm going to do with my children when they get out of high school. I can't send them to college and risk the fact that they will be in debt and get into a position that there's no job. And then we went through, you know, what's happening, why it's going on, and all of that. But I am finding the good news is the younger kids and Obama's base seem to be walking away, because the room was filled with Americans of all colors, colors. And it didn't make any difference. And you know what? We sat together. We enjoyed each other's company, and we talked. We talked about the political climate and how they could not work. And every single one of them agreed and is beginning to understand. So what we have to do is...
Well, let me ask you, Karen, and I guess, and I hate to interrupt you, The one thing that I would share with our millennial generation, because I guess we've all got names for our generations, is why should they work? And that's going to seem like, golly, John, I thought that that's what we're supposed to do as good Americans. Well, the good Americans are the ones that are feeding this tyrant beast. And we have to take accountability for that. And if we're willing to continue to feed the tyrant beast that has us on a leash, that has us chained. These young people are not part of that system yet. They haven't fallen into the indebtedness trap to where their employer, without their permission, sends their labor to the federal beast to feed the federal beast without their permission, to feed all manner of things that we deplore as Americans. I deplore abortion. I don't care if they like it or they don't. I deplore it. I don't want to fund it. I don't want my dollars going to it. Do I have a mechanism to stop it? No, because they, the very beast that are chaining us, created a system to where I can't say no. I'm not going to fund that. I don't have that option. If it was something that I was funding locally, if Planned Parenthood wanted to come into my local community, we could have a get together and say, nope, not going to work here. Go where you might, you know, and I'm not saying that it won't work in another community, but it's not going to work in this community, and we're not going to fund your efforts. Leave us alone. Unleash us. Let us do the things that work best for us and our communities. But we can't do that because we have all signed up for the beast. We are feeding it with our labor. They rob and they steal our labor, and they use it for their uses, not ours. You tell me what's come out of Washington that is, you can get the handout welfare class that are idiots, and I'm going to say that. They're idiots, and they are creating a more of a, I guess they're the cannon fodder for this tyrant. He uses them as pawns. And to be used as pawn, then and if you're ignorant in your being used, well, then I think that you can logically be called an idiot. So if you have the idiot welfare class that's willing to accept whatever Barack Obama says, and they feed nothing. What have they contributed to the financial well-being of the United States of America? Nothing. Zero. But they have a bigger voice. They have a vote in the overall say-so, and that's fine. Give them their vote. But you also have to give us the right to say no more, Mr. President. We're not sending you any more federal tax dollars because you misspend. You misspend. You lie to us. Why should we continue to feed it?
Well, I changed my deductions to 9, so I am not sending any tax dollars anyplace. And I told my accountant that I have 11 million dependents because those are the illegals that I'm paying for.
There you go, baby.
Well, and on that note, your guest has arrived.
Yes. Paul, President, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We're on a tirade, Paul, and it's right up your alley because this is our, I won't say favorite topic, but unfortunately it is the topic that is destroying everything that we know and hold dear. So, Paul, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. You're on the show with John and Karen and Sally.
Well,
how are you this evening?
I'm doing really, really well, and I love the dialogue that's going on right here because you're talking about totalitarians.
Yes.
Exactly.
And as you know, the byline for my radio show is Stopping Totalitarians One Community at a Time. And we have a big one in the White House. It's a product of so many years and tears, if you will, of totalitarians around the world foisting upon us a president who is totally out of control. And, of course, he has been bought and controlled by so many other people. He is not an American president. There's no question about it. And I think over time we're starting to figure that one out. And I do want to say one thing. I just love the Founding Fathers. I mean, really. And especially the First Amendment. And, yes. I have become a cheerleader for Obama now. One of my big jobs when I was, people kind of laugh at me and chuckle until they hear the real story, but I used to be, as a school administrator, in charge of cheerleaders. Now, you know, I'm a big burly guy. Well, I got to tell you, I thought to myself, when I took my first administrative job, I said, the principal said, well, you have to oversee the cheerleaders. You're the administrator in charge of athletics and cheerleaders. And I said, cheerleaders? I said, no problem with the athletics. You know, I played football in high school and college. I said, no problem. What's with the cheerleader thing? And he said, well, that's just where we have to put them. You're in charge. So, of course, I took over. And, well, you know, it was interesting because I really learned a lot by cheerleaders and what they do and what they don't do. And I went to two different high schools as the administrator in charge of cheerleaders. In the second high school I went to, we ended up winning two national championships, one in Dallas and one in Magic Mountain. And I'll tell you, that was really a very thrilling experience. You know, like the kind you see on ESPN and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's why I say I'm going to throw all of my national championship experience as a school administrator towards Obama right now and say, look, oh, Mr. Obama, please get up and exercise your First Amendment rights and just speak. Just keep on talking because, you know, you're digging a hole and the hole is just getting deeper and you don't know to stop digging. And I just love it. And pretty soon, the American people, what they're going to do is they're going to come over with their big cat, the D9, D6, D7, I don't care how many tractors, and they're going to push all that dirt right over on you and the rest of the totalitarians in the world. That's what's going to happen. That is what's happening right now.
I think we're on the way to that because he's, you know, and how long did we listen to them about this guy? About how intelligent he was and how smart he is and what a great orator. He's proven to be about the biggest dummy I think we've ever had in the White House.
Well, he's a moron. He's a complete moron. And, you know, people ask me, because I was an educator for 41 years, I was from custodian to superintendent, and that's sort of my story. I opened up two charter schools. One is closed. I closed it down because the state of California hated what I was doing. I was building a charter school that was going to, introduce shop classes like metal shop, machine shop, auto shop, and the leftist over here didn't like that little notion. But our other school is still going on. But my point is that I had an opportunity to meet with Arne Duncan on one occasion. It was in Washington, D.C., and I was sitting there and I was listening to him. It was kind of an intimate situation. There's about 12 people in the room. And I was kind of sitting there listening to him, and I realized, you know, here I am, a man with educational experience going back probably 39 years then. And I said to myself, 39, 40 years, and I said to myself, you know, I recognize fraud when I see it. And I kept thinking to myself, this guy is as dumb as a box of rocks.
You hit on something because you're absolutely right. If you really, really listen to these people, to me, coming from New York and having worked with these people, I know what they're about. And this is the druggy crowd from the 60s who are high on, you name it, they smoked it or drank it or shoved it up their arms or shoved it up their nose, didn't make any difference. And I to this day, I believe you could imagine what's going on in the White House.
You know, one of the things along the way of being a superintendent and stuff is I became a specialist in drug alcohol recognition and people under the influence. And we ran a very, very strong and proactive anti-marijuana program in all the schools I was at. And we worked with literally hundreds, if not thousands, of kids to get them off of their marijuana addiction. And so, you know, I know a little bit about it since I've had so much experience. So every time I take a look at President Barack Hussein Obama, you know what I do? Is I run my DAR test on him, my drug alcohol recognition test. That's the kind that your highway patrol or your state troopers run on people that are drunk. Okay, there's certain influence indicators that people can identify. You can't deny them. You can put Visine in your eyes. You can do all the things, but they're there. They're physical traits that are easily identified. And the situation of President Barack Hussein Obama, every time I see him, except for a couple of times about 6 months ago, but every time I see him, he fails my drug alcohol recognition test just on the first
wow.
visual. And that's an indicator to me. Sometimes in law enforcement, they call it a clue.
Yes.
That maybe he is under the influence. And clearly, if you listen to his speech patterning,
yes.
you know, for somebody like yes. me who kind of gets what that is, that's a man who's been smoking a lot of marijuana.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that, because I say that to people, and how do you know, how do you know? And I said, because I was a teacher, and I was in school,
you
know, where drugs went all around.
I was a
dean,
you
know, you recognize these things, and also you have to watch him when he's not with the teleprompter.
Right.
It comes right out. It screams at you.
Yes,
you know, like,
yeah, you know,
I'm
so glad, Karen,
attention.
You're bringing this up, because you said it codes right out. Is that what you said? Code
yep.
out.
Yep.
It absolutely does. You know, people like you and I who have been in education, been around kids, we see that right away. And I can't
mm-hmm.
tell you how many other educators that I've been around and law enforcement people that say the same thing. The first time he gave a speech, and it was one of these kind of, you know, C-SPAN speeches and stuff like that, and the symptom is called ptosis, and it's spelled P-T-O-S-I-S, and it's almost like ptosis, but it's with a P. The first time that happened, I was looking at him, and my friend, who was actually a coworker, walked in from his office into my room, and he goes, you know, this guy's stoned. And, you know, what I used to do as a superintendent, I used to train all my teachers in drug alcohol recognition. So, in other words, they'd have to take 40 hours of training to learn the symptomology of people that are under the influence. And so, you know, these teachers would come in going, the guy's stoned. I said, well, yes, he's stoned.
Yeah.
He likes marijuana. And he's the president, or he's going to be at that time. And, of course, then he became president. And, you know, I still stay in touch with my staff, and they totally understand the behavior of what's going on with this man. They totally get it. The man is under the influence of marijuana all the time, and I'll tell you, that's just my play on it. Now,
I couldn't agree more. And
I would love to get educators' consensus on this, and I don't know, Karen, maybe you can run some surveys or something to see how many educators who really understand, you know, students under the influence. Is President Barack Hussein Obama under the influence?
Yep. Yes. I would happen to agree with you, because after, like I said, working with these people, working in New York, teaching in New York, being a dean in New York, working on Wall Street, working in the financial district, working with them side by side, folks, the drugs that come in over the border aren't going just to supply the ghettos. Don't be naive.
No, and, you know, the thing is, here in California, it's very unique out here. California, of course, is where it's almost going to become the home of the cartels. And I really believe that, and this is no slight on the rest of the 49 other states, and, you know, I don't know if you've been to California or not. I've lived out here all my life, and I've seen this whole thing unfolding, and plus my experience with working with law enforcement and education, I've been able to have some privy knowledge. But California really is the big target for these folks, and because we are such an expansive state, and we have a wealth, just natural wealth that's here, and now they have a real wealth to them in the Democratic Party, which has become completely a communist organization here in California. We have a one-party rule in California, and it's not just a small one-party rule. I mean, they have a dominating force in our legislature, because, you know, our assembly is a supermajority. Our Senate is less than one Senate seat away from being a supermajority. And then we have Jerry Brown, you know, the guy, Mr. Moonbeam, as he's sometimes called.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we are a completely leftist state. And, you know, it's clear that the cartels have moved in here. Now, I want to give you a good example of this, and this is kind of like a breaking story. We've been kind of covering this in the last couple of weeks, but, I mean, this is something that I've known about for a long time, certainly when Jerry Brown came into office, but for some reason we start talking about, you know, radio works, Karen. You know, sometimes
yes.
One thing, yes, it's kind of like, it's almost comedic at times, but what happened was I started to talk about what Jerry Brown did when he came into office, and that the situation with our California Department of Justice, who, by the way, is headed by a Kamala Harris. Now, Kamala Harris is a very good friend of President Barack Hussein Obama. Now, Kamala Harris was preceded by none other than Jerry Brown as Attorney General. And then he stepped into the governorship, re-stepped back into it. So you can kind of see there's – and, again, when was he president of California? There you go. When was he governor of California? From 78 to 84 or 86,
yeah,
I can't remember.
That.
Something like that. So he's already been, you know, the governor of California. So he steps into the governorship. Now, immediately when he steps into the governorship, do you know what he does, one of his first actions? And I want to. I know that this is a national show, and I just want to get this word out so you see how this whole thing works. What he does is he gets rid of the Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement in the California Department of Justice. That is the number one group of folk who stands in the way of the cartels.
Of course.
He eliminates them.
Of course. No, that's, I follow that. Makes sense.
Doesn't that make sense about marijuana and everything else? I mean, because
yep.
The cartels, now they have open season here in California. They are doing whatever they want in the beautiful, fantastic foothills of California and the National Forest and the State Forest regions of California. They are doing open growth. It's open season. It's complete lawlessness because the teams are not going out and busting. You see everything on TV like they're doing something. Well,
right.
those videos are 3 and 4 years old.
Huh.
Oh,
it's not happening now. In Butte County, California, listen to this. In Butte County, California, there are places around Oroville Dam and other outskirts out there where the cartels are pulling up on tractors, lowboys, and they're bringing in their D9 cats.
Holy.
And listen, they're driving them up on private property, state land, federal land, and they're just blading it into oblivion, carving out acres upon acres so that they can put in marijuana. And there's no enforcement going on. This is complete lawlessness.
This is
complete lawlessness going on here in California. And you know, Jerry Brown, who Jerry doesn't like me. I wonder why Jerry doesn't like me. Jerry Brown is doing nothing about it. Do you think Jerry is going to be reelected in a couple of years? Well, if the Tea Party has anything to say about it, no. But I wonder the real word about Jerry Brown is. Jerry Brown is going to run for re-election, get re-elected because he's got so much money, and then because of his health issues, in 2 years he's going to resign. That's a breaking story right now on your show.
Wow.
But that has national implications. I think that's kind of what's going on.
It makes perfect sense.
Doesn't it?
Well, you know, when you describe what's taking place in California, then you probably could buy into what we say. Rather than call these immigrants, illegal immigrants, why don't we call them what they are and they're invaders? Because same drug cartel people are invaders from Mexico and South America.
Listen, I totally agree with you. And we have reached the tipping point there because you have, you know, down on the border, and I have friends on the, you know, because I live in California, and, you know, because, you know, I have family members that are Mexican. You know, hello, we're blended. What's wrong?
Yeah.
You know, assimilation, the American dream happened in California for a lot of people, including me. Excuse me. And I'm so, you know, very happy for that. And my family, by the way, is just as concerned as you or I or anybody else in America about this. And we're talking about you have people right now, Mexicans, Germans, Irish, everybody here in California, because we're Californians, that are standing up going, what is wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
And really what is happening in California is that, yes, you now have people that they consider to be other than Mexicans, OTMs, that are coming across the border, flooding across the border. This is a result of the DREAM Act of President Barack Hussein Obama, who is allowing terrorists, known terrorists from Hezbollah, to come across the border unfettered, unchecked, and without any regard for our national sovereignty. This is an invasion. Absolutely. You use the right words. And this has nothing to do with the Mexicans who want to come here. I don't even care.
No.
If they're following the most Mexicans who come here illegally are following a dream that America is
yeah.
the place for them to go to. I have no fault with that. It's our no. government that's all screwed up that labels them and does all the things. But right now we are at the point where the president is allowing the free flow of people coming across, especially those Iranian Hezbollah and Hamas. This, you know, a lot of people don't understand or don't know that.
I was just going to say they don't understand that. People
well,
do
they don't
not
understand that every single day there is an airplane that leaves from Tehran and flies to Caracas, Venezuela
yeah.
with men in it.
Yeah.
And that plane flies back to Tehran in Iran, and empty.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's called troop movement.
Yes.
Yep. Hello. Hello. And, you know, that is happening every single day. This is known universally in, if you talk about, in, you know, your intelligence world, it's known, but nobody's getting that word out. We're trying like crazy here on our radio show, Agenda 21 Radio, because we think it's pretty important. And I guess the question is going to come up, where is the Monroe Doctrine in all this?
Mm-hmm.
Remember John Fitzgerald Kennedy?
Mm-hmm.
He was the last president to invoke the Monroe Doctrine.
That's right.
And he got assassinated for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
something to think about.
Well, that's why this is, again, a personal opinion, but I believe when we send the people up to D.C., they get a visit. They are told
yep.
what to do, and then they're
well,
told
well, that's you know, that's why Barack can be loaded on dope and go out. I mean,
yep.
anyone can could do what Barack Obama's charged with doing, and that's just going out and being a face for TV, being a face for the media, and whether he's stoned or not, you know, it doesn't matter because the puppeteers that got their hands on the string. Trust me, that dummy's not running anything in this country. He's just a face in the crowd. Look, he got a selfie at the funeral for a world communist. You know?
Did you believe that?
That was one of his heroes.
I wanted to laugh.
That's pretty unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we all know that Valerie is the big mouth in the president's in the House. We know that
Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
She's the big wig there. And of course, let's talk a little bit for about Benghazi. Now, I talk about my radio show that early on in Benghazi, we called up. We were one of the first shows in the nation to talk about Benghazi as not being something prompted by a riot, but prompted by an attack. And the reason is that as we went to go do their show. We were watching in real time the video transmissions from the cell phones of the attackers that were attacking Benghazi from Al Jazeera.
Wow.
And, you know, the president had to have been watching that.
No,
Hello?
He was busy playing cards. Maybe he was
playing cards. No, he was smoking dope is what he was doing.
He was smoking dope.
Yeah, really.
And he was probably, he's probably listening to one of his bros on some rap station.
Right.
God. You know, before we go any further, let us take a moment to say that you are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on Red State Talk Radio. Please visit our website, get our newsletter, join us on Agenda21Today.com. AmericaIsMyName.org, Save America Foundation, and the Panhandle Patriots. And if you live in Florida, go and look at KarenStone.com and VoteKarenStone.com. Help get me elected, because when you vote, you don't vote for your little district. You vote for everybody, and that's something that we all have to pay attention to. When a representative goes to vote, he is being a representative not only of his district, but he votes for the country. So we have to make sure that we send the right people there. And we have a guest today, and his name is Paul Preston. Paul, would you tell everyone where they can find you and your radio station?
Well, go to agenda21radio.com, and, of course, that's the website for the radio station, and you can email me at paul@agenda21radio.com, and listen live. We do the show 5 days a week, and we basically are playing 24/7 now because we have our own radio station at newstreammedia.com. That's newstreammedia.com. And if you go, little secret here, if you go to our website and you click on agenda21radio.com, our radio show comes up all the time. We haven't turned off that little button, so it just cycles through. And we play the latest shows. We put out 20, 30 hours of programming every week, and for everybody's listenership. And of course, we're with you in terms of people understanding what's going on with Agenda 21 and regionalism and all the things that they're trying to do there. So that's the impetus behind our radio show and what we're doing.
Well, Paul, John and I in our group for the Agendas, and of course we support your radio station, our new initiative is called Stop Funding Fraud. We feel, after having worked on, as you, both sides of the aisle, and being able to understand everyone, we need a very broad picture that everybody could wrap their arms around, because they keep us divided, fighting our little battles while they step on us. So if we all go under one banner and said, stop funding fraud, what a concept, then it fits every category of everything. So please share that with your listeners. And Facebook, Twitter, tell your representative, stop funding fraud. And when they go to be vetted by you, you tell them, you know their record, and they did not stop funding fraud, and therefore they should not be reelected, and use that as a criteria. We have gone to our Attorney General, Pam Bondi. This was a very interesting story. The gentleman that spoke to me in the beginning did not understand why I would have contacted the Attorney General's office when I said, please investigate these agencies for committing fraud. And he said, I don't understand what you want us to do. And I said, okay, let me get this straight. I'm reading off your website. It says the Attorney General investigates fraud. Do you investigate fraud? And he goes, oh, yes, we do. And I said, well, this is what we're talking about. And he said, do you have any examples of where this might have happened? And I said, would you like to hear a regional planner tell a group of Americans that if they don't agree with his regional plan, the EPA, the FDA, DOT, and HUD will squash him, and that the regional plan that he's promoting is fascism and we should suck it up? And he said that. And I said, yes, he did. He said, and our commissioners are being fooled into giving him money. And I said, I was going to sell you a car, and I knew in advance that the car, the brakes were no good. And I sold you that car in good faith, and you paid me good money, and then you turned around and crashed. Would that be my fault? And he said, oh, I see your point. So we have to start making our attorneys generals do their job, our inspector generals do their job, our appropriations committees do their job.
Are they investigating, Karen?
Well, we are now in conversation. He said to me, do you have any evidence? And I said, absolutely. I will give you present evidence. I'm going to send you the video, and I will introduce you to the Citizens for Property Rights, where they are trying to rezone our property.
Yeah.
Because the oceans are going to rise 4 to 20 feet.
Yeah, you guys are going to drown down there.
Florida is, according to the United Nations, IPCC, they have decided that their computers, if they add 4 feet to the height of the ocean, Florida will be wiped off the map.
It's a crazy fear.
And as a result of that, we now have, this is one for everybody, we now have a new flood zone map drawn by the Army Corps of Engineers and FEMA using the IPCC data. I'm so excited. So they took their flood maps and redrew them as though the ocean was going to rise 4 to 20 feet, and now the nation is getting flood insurance bills of $20,000 to $30,000 are in Florida a year.
Well, that's crony capitalism working right there.
Exactly.
I mean, that's, and of course, the other issue that you brought up is regionalism. And, I can't think of a better example of regionalism than what we have here in California called the California Air Resources Board.
Mm-hmm.
And, we always break it out. I get this question all the time about, what is regionalism and how does it work? And regionalism, comes, the term for regionalism and governance comes from the Soviet, the Russian word called Soviet. And regionalism was designed so that you'd have representatives that would come from various cities, states, and counties. I'll use the American model. It's different in Russia. But you have representatives that come from cities, states, and counties, and they all come together and they form a board. Well, these representatives were elected from the cities, states, and counties, but they claim hegemony over the region where these cities, states, and counties were, all enjoined. Well, that doesn't mean that they've been elected as the representatives of the region for the region. That means that they were elected by the states, counties, and cities and not collectively from the states, counties, and cities to be on that board. That's a whole different ballgame, and I hope that doesn't sound a lot of real confusing, but that means that they're non-elected officials to a region that claims power and authority over your city and county and state, literally.
Yeah.
And often they're not even elected. They are appointed.
They're appointed, absolutely. In California here, they're appointed by the governor. And some of these people are called board sitters. They've been sitting on various different boards and authorities throughout the state. And of course, that happens throughout all the regions. Now, here's another thing that people need to kind of get a grip on. Now, those people that are into the charter school world business, okay, I started 2 charter schools. I like the notion of charter schools. But charter schools really aren't helping here. And I'm going to get into the realm of what's called NGOs or non-governmental organizations, because like here in California, we have this organization called the California Air Resources Board, which buys and sells CARB credits. They actually have an exchange like a New York stock market or, over the counter where there's buying and selling carbon credits. There's another carbon exchange in Geneva, which is part of the EU. And there's another one in Australia. So there's these 3 carbon credit exchanges. Now, maybe some people might want to connect those 3 dots there together.
I'll give you a dot to connect them with, who just funded a lot of that.
Well, pardon me?
Our stimulus funded a lot of that.
Absolutely. You hit it just right on. Our stimulus was set up to fund a lot of that, to bring, to stimulate the funding for the carbon. Okay. Right. When you get a carbon, when you get a stock, you get a certificate, you get a piece of paper, and that stock says, it has a valuation for a given company, given corporation, or you buy a bond, and it's a bond for X numbers. Well, what you're buying here are carbon credits, a credit for the various tons of carbons that are, given off by a company that exudes a carbon credit, a carbon footprint, excuse me. And so you're not even given a paper or a document or anything or a certificate in this exchange, what you're given is the notion of a credit, which is, in other words, it's fantasy.
I'm sorry. This is really...
It's kind of like a Bitcoin, huh?
Well, but this has been foisted upon us. Okay, so anyway, they have, you know, so what you have now is, what you have is like the state of California, which is, you know, clearly a communist state now. I am a Californian.
Yeah.
Hello, I've been here all my life. I'm not going to tell you my age, but I've been here all my life. I've seen this unfold. You have a communist state, and they have created this trading scheme, and this trading scheme has been foisted upon everybody in California. It's absolutely squeezing out all business, all everything here because of overregulation, overtaxation. So they created this carbon trading scheme. Well, for the air that you breathe, if you're a business and you give off 100 tons in their, under their calculation, their math, don't you trust the government and their math? So in their math, you give off 100 tons of carbon, then obviously you've got to offset it some way with somebody else who gives off less than 100 tons. So you run around buying up what are called carbon credits from these companies that only give off like 50 tons of carbon. So you create an exchange.
This is so incredibly stupid.
Well, let me ask you, is it true that General Electric is actually the largest holder of these carbon credits?
Absolutely.
And Mr. Al Gore, for individuals, I think that's Al Gore's game plan and scheme.
Yes.
See, that was all part of what we fought with cap and trade. Now, I'm astounded that they allowed it to go through in California.
Just before Obama got elected in 2008, there was a big scandal in Chicago, and they closed the carbon exchange.
Right, because the people in Chicago figured it out.
Yeah,
they knew. Guess where they went? They went to California.
Well, it's not only California. Actually, I think, it was California. California, Geneva, and Australia.
Yes, they dispersed, yes.
And they used a lot of it. They used a lot of it from the California model, and I'm going to get into that, where everybody says, well, if they do it in California, it's got to be good type mentality. And, of course, listen to the rest of the nation. And, you know, for a long time, I do want to say that, you know, as a Californian, I would claim that title, yes. But, you know, for the last 25, 30 years, no. Because the leftists really have come here. And, you know, you can talk about Berserkly, you can talk about Bill Ayers, and you can talk about the Muslims, you can talk about Islam. Because, you know, the word, you know, I don't know if many people understand this, and this is something that really needs to be opened up for discussion nationally, but does anybody know what the definition of California really is?
I saw it. Wait a minute. No, you better, I don't remember.
It means the caliphate.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I remember seeing it together with a German when I was researching Germany, because Hitler used the Muslims to clean up Northern Africa.
Right.
And I remember
So how did that get to California?
Because caliphate, and that whole thing, and in between World War One and Two, when the people came to America, they went to New York and California.
Well,
so
you
had the Nazis and the Muslims.
But I mean, it had to be before that.
No, it did. It had to be during the founding of California.
Yeah.
And the founding of California, you know, in the early years of California, which is in this, you know, you're now talking about 1800s.
Right.
When California was first founded, it was considered to be the following or the forward of the force and the place in which, you know, Islam would lie, meaning the caliphate. And, you have to remember something, that at the time when California was founded, you know, the whole California history, and by the way, you can go to our website. Don't go to it right now because it's under construction. There's nightly construction going on. But there is a whole thing about California history there. But, But the California history is something that people need to understand if they want to understand what Islam is trying to do to America.
Okay.
And you probably will get some phone calls on what I just told you.
No,
but,
that's okay. Good.
California means the caliphate. And in Islam, that's an important concept.
Yeah.
Now, I want to fast forward from, you know, like the 1700s, 1600s, now to 2013 and show you how important it really is. Now, I don't know if you know what the importance of the number 19 is for Islam. Do you know?
No.
That's the holiest number that in Islam, 19. Now,
okay.
How many hijackers were there?
So that's their game, huh?
That's the game plan.
Here's a bigger game plan.
There's only 9.
What?
Here's a bigger game plan. And there's a whole thing about Islamic numerology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're there in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start understanding and start researching the Islamic numerology, what I want you to do is look up the date in which the Challenger was blown up.
Okay.
128. 86, I believe. I want you to look up that date.
Okay.
And I want you to understand and do a little bit of research of why, about how numbers work, coded numbers work within Islam. Something's going to jump right out at you. And you're going to go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. But
okay.
Anyway, with California, California really clearly is a target of Islam. This is the place where the totalitarians in the form of Islam want to come and conquer. You see, Islam is a conquering religion, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's not really a religion, but it's going to create its own caliphate here in California. This is the place they want to be. This is the place where Allah says they need to go. Now, with
aren't
all of our
lucky
natural riches and resources, this sort of makes a lot of sense now.
Mm-hmm. It does. It absolutely
all right,
does.
Hey, the Challenger went down on January 28, 1986.
There it is. Yeah.
Okay, 1986.
Let's see if you can get some 11s and 19s out of that. And you know, this is a math problem.
Right.
Okay.
But, you know, and it takes a while sometimes for people to get it, but I'm telling you, there's a real aha, oh my God moment. And now, I want to bring you fast forward to 2003 here in California. Everybody's screaming up and down about Obamacare, right?
Yeah.
Obamacare, Obamacare, Obamacare. Oh, my God. And here in California, we have got covered California. Oh, California is going to lead the way with Obamacare because we've got a covered California. And, you know, by the way, I don't know if you heard this. I heard this on Fox News a couple weeks ago. California always seems to have its act better than other places, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know that's
no.
wrong. So,
no.
So anyway, and this is in regards to a conversation about covered California, the number of people that have been signing up. And hello, is there anybody in this audience that can tell me how many people have actually bought and paid for Obamacare at this point in the United States of America? Okay, answer, time period is over, and the answer to that question is zero.
None, because they can't collect the credit card
right
information.
I hate it when this happens, when information. So are you working on your calculations on how you can get to 11 and 19?
I'm adding them all.
City 19s or 11s.
I've already
there.
Added them and subtracted.
I was adding them up.
Anyway, but I want to get to covered California here in California.
Is that what you do with the 11s and the
19s? It's diminution is what it's called. But covered California. Covered California. Listen to this. Listen to the words that I'm using here.
Mm-hmm.
Covered California.
California.
Obamacare. All right. Well, covered California just announced yesterday that they've divided up California into 19 regions. You know, regionalism.
Yeah.
19.
Wow.
Don't you hate it when that happens? 19
yes,
is the most sacred.
Especially if Florida is in 11 regions.
Oh my goodness, I hate it when this happens. What's that?
11 regions for land and 9 regions for water.
You know, I hate it when this happens when a plan comes together.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So Florida is related to is 11 regions. California is 19 regions. Now, of course, I didn't tell you that the other most sacred number in Islam is 11, did I?
9/11.
Yeah, well, that was the 9/11. Yep. That was why everything happens on 9/11. That's
mm-hmm.
their big deal. That's their, yes. That is their big number.
That's their big number.
Well,
so, you know, there are people with bigger plans than what we're seeing here. The problem, here's their problem. I hope they're listening. They've overplayed their hand. It's over for them. And I think they know that. I think there's some real, the people are really starting to backpedal like crazy. First of all, you saw the Saudis starting to backpedal out of Syria. I mean, there's some real contraction going on because people like you and I, all of us that are listening right now on the internet, you know what? We get it. We understand. This is truth radio. This is truth
mm-hmm.
information. The mainstream media has been totally controlled by all these people, including the likes of George Soros. And we understand the newsstream media out there. Mainstream media is dead. Newsstream media, we are the truth tellers. And we're in rapid pursuit of the truth. There's no question about it. And, you know, this stuff will not stand in America. We get it. We're going to find out the truth about these folks. And we're going to divulge it and exploit it. And they don't like, there's nothing they can do about it, quite frank. You know, really, there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, unfortunately, there are things they can do about it because I believe that with what they're doing with the food is they're following Stalin.
Yep.
And by the time we finish with the weather, which is going to be horrific this year,
right.
farmers won't be able to plant.
Well, I think that you're on the right track there. They are going to push back. Here's my point to this. This what you're saying absolutely is going to happen. They are going
to
pull the plug. And they are going
to
pull the plug. But they're going to pull the plug because we're going to force them to pull the plug.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
It's
that,
not
going to
be on their
that.
Terms.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not, and, you know, that's why I say, you know, when I talk to groups and stuff like that and I give presentations, I say, step up, America. We're going to force them. We're going to stop them. And it's going to be on our terms, not theirs. And you know what?
Yeah.
They are rapidly hating that idea.
They sure are. And see, I believe that too, and I've shared that on more than one occasion. You know, they missed their mark in their timing, and they're about one generation removed from being
Absolutely.
Able to do it without even anyone noticing. But since
right.
we have noticed and we're screaming, and trust me, that's what the hatred of the Tea Party, right-wing
yep.
conservatives, the Christians, all of that crap that they're spreading in their controlled media is to try to diminish us, but it's not working.
We're still screaming.
We're still hollering. So if we force their hand, then guess what? They are revealed to be exactly who they are and the evil that they are, and guess what? You unite the American people, and they have never been defeated on any field
never.
Of battle.
And this is their biggest fear. And I'm telling you, you are exactly 100% correct. They have been revealed for who they are, and they're one generation off. You know, this so-called greatest generation, they're still around, and they're still going to Tea Party meetings, and they're still standing strong. I was at a Tea Party meeting last night. You know, these people, quite frankly, they're much older than me, and they are more determined than me than ever, and I get inspiration from them because I am not going to see this country go down the tubes. This is
there
not going to happen. I'm informed. I'm out there talking 5 hours a day on the radio to tell people, wait a minute, we've got to rise up against these. And you know what? A little little hint to President Barack Hussein Obama, and I sure hope you're listening, big guy, but you know what? You're going down. America has risen. We are rising. And you know what? The truth will win out, as it is. As it is. You know, clearly it is. And, you know, sorry I got a little inspirational there, but, you know, I was really very inspired by last night's Tea Party meeting. And, you know, that they are one generation. They screwed up, man. When,
yes,
and history is going to reveal that they screwed up by one generation.
You know
and,
why they screwed up by one generation? We had Preston Bailey on our show a couple of last month, and he said that their timing is off because they are in their 80s.
Right.
The leaders of the pack are in their 80s.
Right.
And they wanted to see this happen while they were
before they died.
Alive.
Yep.
And
sure.
They
when you look at old George Bush Senior, all
children,
those old cats. Yeah.
Yeah. That we, their children, are still here, and we know their tricks.
Right.
So if we can get enough people behind us to say, yo, man, we know that trick. We know that lie.
Well, the great thing that's happening is with the millennials. And, you know, my children are millennials, and they get it now. And I'm telling you, they're becoming more hardened every single day. You know, this Obamacare thing has just exploded right in their face in a big way.
Yep.
Because, you know, the millennials are going, you know, quite frankly, this is kind of hysterical. Thanksgiving, I was with some family members and some millennials there, and we were in a very heated conversation, much like this one in the sense that it was all good. It was all good with some millennials. And one of them looked at me and says, with due respect, Mr. President, I don't want to pay for your health insurance. And I said, well, you shouldn't want to. And, you know, he got it. He got it.
You know, with due respect, I don't want to pay for your abortion. And they get the fact that they could make their own choices, because when you and I taught in school, one of the great things that I did was teach my kids that the choice was theirs. There's a lot of ways to get there. You know, as a math teacher, you can go from point A to point B a lot of different ways, and you have to know them because there might be traffic or an accident or a snowstorm or whatever, or a road closing. So you got to be able to figure it out, and you got to be able to figure it out quickly. And when they realize that their choice is gone,
I think Obamacare is the switch for those young folks. And the one thing about it is that when they recognize, and the idiots that developed and created Obamacare tax, you know, they really figured that all of these young people on these college campuses would just fall in line,
right. They overplayed their hand
to get something free. Yeah, they overplayed. And now they're going to say, hey, bud, I'm opting out, taking the penalty, kiss my butt.
Well,
it collapses around itself.
Yeah,
well, one of the things
they had them programmed, and they forgot one
they
thing.
They thought they did.
They forgot their grandparents.
Right. Well,
exactly.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I really want to, you know, really focus on is the fact that, you know, when we all went to school back in the day from the, you know, 50s and 60s and 70s, all of our teachers always poised that question to us, and I can remember this, and I'm so glad you brought it up. As a fellow teacher, you know, I taught in the classroom for almost 16 years, taught biological sciences and environmental sciences, so go figure, why would I start a radio show about Agenda 21? Anyway, but the question that was oftentimes posed to me, and I posed it to my own students, the choice was theirs. So as a public school educator, I had that mentality, that thematic processing going on in my teaching, that when I was teaching, I was always posing that question to my students. You know, it's your choice once you get out of high school. When you graduate from public education, it's your choice.
I would say all the time, and what would you do? Now you're at the crossroads. What would you do?
But,
you know that these variables are there. You know that those variables are there. What would you do? They don't do that now.
No,
here are the variables, and you get to pick out of the four that I decided you should have.
And let's switch gears to Common Core now, because this is their They're poison. They're venom for our kids. You know, kids are not being afforded that opportunity because the teachers are not being afforded that opportunity.
Right.
The teachers are being told what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And I have been stone cold, absolutely 110% opposed to that. And I want to tell you right now, I'm going to use this radio show right now to tell people, I have been a teacher, an administrator, and superintendent of public instruction, and I'm going to tell you one thing. Resist Common Core. Don't do it. Just resist it and say no to it because it's corrupt. Just don't do it. I mean, you don't have to. And I'll tell you, in every 50 states, your credentials tell you you do not have to do this. So
you're right.
Don't
and,
do it.
And that's why we went after Stop Funding Fraud, and now we're going to go to our appropriations committees and we're going to say, this is fraud. I don't want you to pay for that. This is fraud. Don't pay for that. This is
fraud.
Don't pay for that. And Common Core is part of it because the major part of the curriculum is on the man-made global warming fraud and the sustainable development fraud and the carbon CO2 fraud, which if people understood, you said, why are you having a radio show on Agenda 21? Because you know what it is, and you can connect the dots. You and I and John are unique because we lived through it. We understand
it.
And there are too many people out there that get fed, like I tell everybody, it's a giant jigsaw puzzle. Everybody has a little tiny piece, and if you put them all together, you create the death map. We have the ability to know where the good pieces should go, where the bad pieces are, so giving other people that knowledge helps them. That's why you're doing it, and we appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you, that the whole Common Core fraud is going to be soon exposed. And I'll give you a little bit of exposure for those of your listeners who just do not understand totally what's going on here. And again, you know, and Karen, we're educated. We get this whole routine. You and I understand the terminology. And you're in Florida. I'm in California. It's all commonality. But the bottom line is that when you take a look at Race the Top, Common Core, and all this other garbage that's coming from the president, first of all, the president has no room for authority. The Common Core is a fraud. It's illegal and shouldn't even be listened to because he has not authorized Common Core through Congress. Hello? The last time this was done was with with No Child Left Behind, which is supposed to have been reauthorized every 5 years. It's never been reauthorized since 2001. Is there something wrong with the picture? It's called being illegal.
Yes, but
it's
people don't understand.
It's illegal at its very core.
That's right. If the people really understood that, the Department of Education would close in both the state and the federal government, and education would be funded locally.
Right.
What about their bill that they just passed? Did they do any funding of it? Did they approve anything?
No.
In the last, Mr. Ryan put together there, the trash?
No.
Okay.
They approved funding on that for pre-K.
Right.
That's
pre-K.
Agenda 21,
well, that's
pre-K, mandatory federal pre-K.
But I mean, that doesn't get into the classrooms where they're trying to carry this out. I mean, Louisiana, they're saying it'll be fully implemented by 2016.
Well, that, you know, again, let me caution you here because and where I'm coming from is from the standpoint that the federal government has absolutely no authority
even if
the state legislatures have passed their laws to adopt Common Core or Race to the Top. The federal government has no authority here. They have absolutely none. And the main reason is because a Common Core, it needs to be tied with No Child Left Behind in the reauthorization. It's never been reauthorized.
Yeah.
This is something that, as the president, he said, therefore I am and you are. This is an edict. This is the presidential decree. This is a dictatorship.
Yeah.
It's a fraud from the beginning and should not be listened to and should be rejected at the state level.
Okay.
I mean,
well, and that's what I think the states, though, isn't that something that the states should do,
is
go ahead and write legislation to protect yourself.
Yes, but the states...
Yeah, a lot of states are doing that, by the way.
Yes,
yeah,
and the fighters You know, we have, like you, we have lots of groups like in Louisiana and Florida, and they are fighting it, but they very rarely tackle the unconstitutional part because they don't understand it. And that's really the whole issue. There isn't any other issue. You're right. But the problem is, in Florida, we have the most egregious of all egregiousnesses in America, and his name is Jeb Bush.
Right.
And he's behind this because his family will benefit just like they did with No Child Left Behind.
Right.
Are you serious, Karen? I'm going to ask you that. Are you serious? Do you think that the Bushes would ever profit? Would the Bushes take profit from the American people and profit off our destruction?
They're such benevolent people, after all. I let some,
let's elect another one.
Bush loves that I destroyed their lives by sending them to an illegal war. I let them come on my ranch.
I ruined them. Yeah, I crippled them and maimed them.
I ruined everything about them, and now I'm going to take away their money.
But I'm a good guy.
But I'm really a good guy because they came to the ranch.
Evil bastard.
I'm a good guy. Maybe I'll have a library for them.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what we need.
By the way, border. Oh, excuse me. Well, I have to hand it to Rick Perry. He did close the border. So that was good. But anyway, to get on to Common Core for a minute, what people don't realize with all the programs, you said it before, Paul, you have to push back. And every time you do, if you go in and I tell everybody, just do the simplest things. Just ask them five very easy questions. Go with five people. You get 3 minutes. Each one of you gets asked one question. Start off always with, where is the factual information that supports this? That's it. They don't have any. So that's one problem. The other is, where's the feasibility study and the prototype that shows that it works? Where does it work? Does it work? How much does it cost? Who's paying for it? What's the return on investment? What are the expenses and profitability? And if you keep it to that and don't get emotional, which is what we have to train our people not to get, you know, this is not personal, you have to keep it factual. They have no answers. And every place we noticed last week, every place where there was a community that did push back against having to remove a nativity scene, the nativity scenes are still there.
There you go.
Really? Well, you see, that's exactly what you need because the, and again, you know, my mantra on my radio show is stopping totalitarianism one community at a time. And, you know, what we need to do is there needs to be a call to arms. And quite frankly, in California there is, and there are some things that are going to be happening
with
California.
You work with Rosa Corey? I didn't mean to.
Oh, sure. Well, Rosa Corey, you know, I blame Rosa Corey for the genesis of my show because it was her fault that she came on my other radio show called The Inside Education Show, and I listened to this. And as an environmentalist wacko from the 70s and 80s, I recognized what a scam Agenda 21 was. And I literally said, you know, I'm going to start a radio show based upon this thing, and I blame her. And it's her fault, by the way. I mean, I spend countless hours of my day, and every I think of Rosa Corey. God, you just caused me to do this. But Rosa Corey and Heather Dodd, they are the...
Thank goodness. And we support her lawsuit, and thank God for that.
And Heather Goss is another one. It was actually her and Heather and Orlene Corley.
Orlene also.
Who are the ones who are really the triumvirate, as I'm going to call them,
caused
me to do this. I'm on now 5 days a week. What is wrong with you? Talk about just craziness. But the getting the word out is, of course, the key thing. But, you know, as far as the national scene is going on, and we're winning, and I think that people need to understand we are winning. It's a low level right now. It's gonna reach crescendo in the next couple of elections. And I do want to say that I'm going to use this, you know, for a little bit of opinion on my part, if you don't mind. that I really think we need to call out for sure the Rhino Republicans.
Okay.
And I really I have no hesitation in saying this, that I don't know if, like, John Boehner has been within the Beltway for so long where he really doesn't get it or what, but as far as, you know, all those out in the Tea Party, you're absolutely 110% right. People within the Beltway, you know, like Paul Ryan and the Rhino Republicans who call us just vicious, evil names, they have another agenda, and that agenda is not good for America. And over time, you know, our time as conservatives and diehard conservatives, that's going to be seen. So we need to reject them. And I say this because it's been a running thing here since Friday about Boehner's comments about the conservatives in the assembly or the Senate, the House of Representatives. You know, about his comments about, you know, are you kidding me?
John, we believe we've seen pictures that John Boehner is pals with all these guys. He looks like he's drunk three quarters of the time.
Yeah.
I have no proof of that, but that's what he looks like.
Yep. He has some issues.
So, John, you're on national camera. You look like you're drunk, and if I could recognize it, other people can too.
Well, it's like Obama,
if you're drinking,
you know,
then stop. Or if you're not drinking, then do a better makeup job.
Well, and, you know, I want to tell you that Boehner has gone through some periods which he's more sober than not. And then Obama, in fact, about, I mentioned this earlier in the show, about 4 or 5 months ago, he came out really clear-eyed and lucid. And I thought to myself, well, boy, we're really in trouble because he's clear-eyed and lucid. You know, because he might be making some really bad decisions. So let's get him stoned real quick. I don't know. You know, I have some contacts in Washington. The talk is on the street about him smoking marijuana and his whole connectedness with the cartels. And, of course, the cartels are absolutely running Chicago now.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And here in California, the cartels are running California. So, the violence level is going to really increase if we don't do something here in California. We haven't seen it yet, but it's there. And I'll tell you, the law enforcement people that I talk to that are really not with Kamala Harris and Jerry Brown and President Obama and all that crap, they are very concerned, not only for – they are concerned as law enforcement officers for us, public. And I've quietly been told, make sure you get as many guns as you can. I've been told that.
Yeah.
I've been told that by law enforcement.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you're in California, the other day when they had the little scare with the radiation truck being hijacked down in Mexico, did it make you nervous about a suitcase bomb?
No. No, not
at
all.
Okay, you weren't concerned about that?
Well, I'm concerned about it. Everybody should be because what you have here, and let's be very clear what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen. There is an airplane, and I mentioned this earlier, that leaves from Tehran every single day, one flight that comes to Caracas, Venezuela. It dumps off a couple hundred men, and then it flies back empty. Okay, well, what are they doing? Well, these are clearly terrorists, Hezbollah, that are coming across, you know, ultimately making their way to America. And the Mexican government has been really, for the most part, trying to stop it, but you have the cartels that are involved. The cartels are involved with American CIA.
Right.
Now, and a lot of people don't understand the relationship there. That's a relationship that's been developed since the 1940s, since the end of World War II, the CIA and, you know, through Operation Paperclip and all that other stuff, have been intimately involved with the Nazis and Operation Paperclip.
We can say thank you to the Bush family.
Well, then, you know, see, there you're going there with the Bush family thing, which is totally true. The evidence is very clear that this is the path. So what's happened is that the CIA has welcomed aboard now Hezbollah, and you got to remember, let's get back into Iran. Now, why is Iran important in this equation? because Iran is still a proxy of the National Socialists from the 1920s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I just gave everybody a code. A code National Socialist means Nazis.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, another code is the word Iran. Iran is a code word. Do you know what that means?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I got to go.
It means, let me help you out with it. It means Aryan land.
Right, Aryan land. Yes.
So Hezbollah, which is an offshoot of what's been going on with the Nazis in Iran,
mm-hmm.
has been coming over to the Western Hemisphere by way of Venezuela for, I don't know, last, you know, 12 to 15 years for sure.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They've been setting up mosques in northern South America and in Central America, and
you know,
they've been training people to come across the border in the United States.
They've been doing this since Thomas Jefferson, These were the Barbary pirates.
Well, they were the Barbary pirates, but you know,
they were
I want to clarify something with you about Thomas Jefferson. The first mosque established in America was in 1938. It's not like the Muslims have been here since we started this country. That's not true.
Yeah.
They are a recent phenomena.
Yeah.
They are not something that has been part of our history, other than we have been set up as a country to fight against the hatred that is represented by Islam.
Our European background and our founders' European background, they knew what they had fought against the Muslims. I mean, the Muslims tried to wipe every one of them out.
You know, the evidence of that is in the dollar bill.
Yeah.
Take out a dollar bill and look at the American, emblem that we have there.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just tell your audience, go do some research on the pyramid. Yeah, I know you got the all-seeing eye. But, you know, what about in front and behind the pyramid? What symbolism is emblematic there? And they're going to tell you, it's going to talk about Islam when you find out about it. That's the American dollar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we know this goes back years and years and years. This goes back way, way back. And this was, I believe, one of the reasons why we fought the War of 1812, if my history is reminding me correctly. And it had to do with the money, I think, that Thomas Jefferson was borrowing as he was fighting the Barbary pirates who had just finished taking over Spain and were spreading out.
Right. Well, now you're getting to the Moorish and Persian empires.
Right, the Moorish and Persian empires.
And, you know,
same dog, new tricks.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been to Barcelona, Spain?
I have, yes.
Have you?
Yes, beautiful area.
The Las Ramblas and all that stuff?
Yes, yes.
And if you go down to the harbor, what's down there at the base of the harbor?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
There's a big statue. Let me help you out. There's a big statue down there, and the statue is of a man it's enormous.
Is it the Moor?
No. It's a statue of Cristobal Colón.
Columbus.
Which is Christopher Columbus, right?
Yes.
Now, Cristobal Colón is pointing his finger due west. I took a compass, looked at it, it's due west. And, you know, the key thing is about Cristobal Colón, understanding that, you know, in Barcelona anyway, that we've gone to the west. And what we have done is we have created a whole new Christian environment going west. Because really, what happened in 1492, when he came back to the queen and the king of Spain, is it signaled the death of Islam in the Moorish Empire. Oh. I mean, I would never think that in my lifetime I'd have, you know, this discussion about what happened in 1492 as being significant.
But
in terms of what's happening in the United States and also California. By the way, California, the caliphate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you hate it when that happens? It's connecting dots. But
yes, it is. Do you know, you should have Bill Federer. I will have to get you his information. He is so wonderful on history. I love listening to him. And his books are absolutely incredible. And, you know, we go through all of this and we go back in time and we remember, because it is, it's all connected. It's the same stupid battle that, well, I tell everybody it's Sarah's fault. She didn't throw Ishmael and his mother out, cast her into Egypt. We wouldn't be having this conversation. So it's all her fault. It's sibling rivalry, and it's not going to change. And for people to think that you're going to get the Muslims to change, it's
right.
not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's a whole new paradigm for us in America. And I think that's the message that I'm trying to bring to people in terms of Islam. It's a whole new paradigm here, because Islam is the modern day, and again, in America, thinking modern in America, modernity in America, is Islam is the modern day conquerors of America.
Yeah.
That's the way they look at themselves. And I have had the conversation with many people that are Islamic who say this to me. We're coming here to take over your country. Hello, wake up. What don't you people understand? I've had that said to me several times.
They don't want to.
Well, we're not that kind of people, you know. So,
well, we're going to have to. I didn't realize what time it was. This time flew so fast.
We're having so much fun.
Yes, we'll have to have you back again. This is going to be our last show this year.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone, all of our listeners. We appreciate everything. We thank you all for listening and for being dedicated. And very, very important that you share this information with your friends and neighbors. And let's remember, I'm going to say a few words, and then John will have a chance to say a few words, and Sally, if she's there, and Paul. And we're going to wish everybody a very, very happy New Year. God bless you all. God bless America. And let's make a New Year's resolution, and let's make it together, that we are Americans first. And always, and that we will no longer be politically correct. We will not be part of a silent majority. We will talk about politics and religion, and we will stop funding fraud. And let's make that our first step for the new year, so that our elected officials know why they are elected and who they owe their allegiance to. Remember, this is all about the money, and the more you give them, the more they have to use against you. So stop being the gift that keeps on giving. Buy American and keep our money in our country, and demand that our legislators stop funding fraud. And on that note, thank you all. This was a wonderful experience, a fabulous year, and we hope that you have learned and enjoyed our show and share it with others. And John, I love you, and have
love
a very, very happy new year.
Oh, I sure will do. And that's that's my wish, is that we can keep this effort going to always share the truth, and that's all we offer, folks. And I want the American people and all people that listen and care, share the truth with your neighbors. There's a day of reckoning coming. Prepare yourself for that day of reckoning, and prepare yourself to stand against the lies.
That is a good message. A good message. And Sally, are you there?
Yep, I am here. First off, I am an American, nothing but an American. This American will not comply with unconstitutional mandates, and I wish everybody out there a very Merry Christmas. Let's let freedom ring in 2014, and as I started the show, the truth will set us free. We have to face the truth and deal with the truth, and freedom can bring again in 2014. And that's mine for tonight. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you. And Paul, did you have something you wanted to say?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the radio show with everybody tonight. And I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and I want to say, you know, we are proud to be Americans. We are exceptional Americans. And, you know, do not forget that. Do not let anybody tell you any different, that we are exceptional Americans, and we are providing liberty and freedom for everyone in the world. And, ladies and gentlemen, you know, just go forward and have a great Christmas. Enjoy your family. And, you know, remember that Christ is the reason for the Christmas.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Isn't that some power? That's a powerful message that we have to, you know, in this day when every Christian on the planet is under attack, and we know where that attack has come from. Paul shared a lot of information with us on the Muslims that are perpetrating this and the people that have given these Muslims the power to perpetrate it on Christianity. Stand true to our Christ child and celebrate your Christmas, please.
Well, this has been a wonderful year. We have met a lot of wonderful patriots. We appreciate every ounce of everybody's energy to fight this fight. And we're going to be facing a year that we're going to have to do that. Things are going to be hard. We're going to have tough times. We know that. How do we know that? Because the weather is not going to cooperate. So no matter what we do to squash everything else, we still have the weather to face, and that's going to be a reality.
Well, and the liars have power, huh, Karen? That's the one thing that we have to recognize. The liars that are in power have perpetrated that lie and all the rest of these lies. The economy, the fiat currency that we suffer with, all of those lies are coming home to roost by their design. It's not your design, America. It's the design of the crony capitalist, the communist, the Muslim Brotherhood. That's the designers. And as long as we know that and we share that truth, we'll be fine. We have, like I said earlier, the one thing, they've missed their mark, they mistimed it, and we have never been defeated as a united people, and we will not ever be defeated as a united people.
We're not going to start now.
Nope. Never, never, ever.
Never, ever. So give your family a hug and a kiss.
Yeah.
When they come in the house for Christmas, put their machines down and make them sit and talk to you like human beings in a loving family situation. Enjoy your day together and enjoy your lifetime together, and have a very happy new year. And remember that for the next year, we're going to have a hard job to do. So rest now so that we can get it done and face it all together. Thank you all for joining us. This is Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks, and on American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on Red State Talk Radio. Please join us. Visit our websites, agenda21today.com. Excuse me, americaismyname.org, panhandlepatriots.com, and Save America Foundation. You can find my work at karenschoen.com. And please, if you're in Florida, vote karenschoen.com. I need your help. We're in this together. And together, we will succeed, because victory is our only option. So God bless you, and God bless America. Good night, John. Good night, Paul. Good night, Sally.
Good night.